Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon this morning is dying life. That what do we see here in Samson's life? These last moments of his life, dying life. Two thoughts. The first one, a mighty loser. That's Samson. What a mirror for us, isn't it? A mighty loser. And the second point of attention is a powerless victor. You hear that contradiction, that seeming contradiction? A mighty loser. When he was full of strength, in the end, he appeared to be a loser. But then that second point, right? When he was brought down by God in the pit, when he became powerless, he became a victor. So first point, a mighty loser. And the second point, a powerless victor. And the theme is a dying life. A mighty loser. Well, we started reading in verse 17. And we just fell in the middle of that story of Samson. But in the first two verses we have read, 17 and 18, you read for three times the words, all his heart. So we started off by reading about Samson's heart. And not a part of his heart, but his whole heart. Why is it emphasized for three times in these verses that Samson's heart is filled with Delilah? Because that's what it is about. His whole heart, all his heart was set on Delilah. Well, from biblical point of view, our heart is like the command room of our life. It is that place where all senses and memories, our intellect, our conscience, all these things, they come together. It's the place where it all comes together and the decisions are made. They are born in that heart. So here we look in the heart of Samson. The place where Samson's decisions are made. So with what is his heart filled? What do we find in his heart, the place where his decisions are made? Well, 17a, Samson told Delilah all his heart. He was sitting there with Delilah and he poured out his heart. He gave his heart, his full heart to Delilah. In other words, he filled his heart with Delilah, right? 18a, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, he gave his heart to Delilah. 18b, again, we heard Delilah, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. He has opened up his heart for me. His heart is for me. Samson's heart was set upon Delilah. He loved Delilah with all his heart. He could not hold anything back from Delilah. He gave his whole heart to her. Do we remember the calling of Samson? When the angel came down from heaven to Noah's wife, what is the message about Samson? That child yet to be born. What was the message of that angel? Judges 13, verse 5. For this child, Samson, shall be a Nazarite. His life shall be dedicated to God, right? A Nazarite unto God. And the Nazarite is dedicated. A Nazarite is a servant of the Lord. He ministers to the Lord. His heart is supposed to be filled with God because he's a servant of God. Let's read it the whole verse. Judges 13, verse 5. Samson shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And here we come across Samson. And he is not a servant, or you could translate a slave of God. No. He was a servant of Delilah, a slave of Delilah. How poignant this is. His heart is filled with Delilah and not with God. By the way, before we continue, what is the calling for each and every child of God? That your heart is filled with God. That you love God above all. That he has the first place in your life. In the end, again and again, we need to remember that it's so important. In the Bible, it is not in the first place about Samson and David and whatever the name is of these biblical figures. It is about us. All these biblical figures, like Samson, they are examples for us, mirrors for us. They show us what probably happens in our life or could happen in our life. And how God deals with it. And how we should change. And how our life is supposed to be. How life should be filled with God. Honoring him, praising him, loving above all. And here, Samson, where are you? May I just ask you this question. If you open up your heart, what do you find in it? What has priority in your life? Based on what do you make your decisions? Important question. All that we should pray with Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Search me. Know my heart, the place where the decisions are made. Know my heart, O Lord. Know my thoughts. Oh Lord, please see for me, right? Because I am often blind. See for me. If there is any wicked way in me, if my heart is filled with other things instead of thy word and thee. How did it came to all of this with Samson? Well, we know the answer. He succumbs to the temptations in his life. That's the short answer. Satan attacks him. How? In Samson's case, through the Philistines, and the Philistines are using Delilah. There are all kinds of temptations, right? And Satan is shooting fiery arrows, and he's using the world around Samson for that. The Philistine world, and especially these beautiful girls there in the Philistine world, like Delilah. They are like fiery arrows of Satan, temptations. At the same time, we know the biblical word, every temptation is also a trial. From Satan's point of view, it are all temptations. Satan is out on our ruin. But all these temptations are, from God's point of view, trials. God is testing us. He's trying us. That we should indeed learn that we are weak without power and strength. That we are indeed totally depraved. That we learn to pray, to flee to Christ. That we learn that he can do the impossible. That we can't, but he. But Samson, he didn't learn this lesson. He just fell for these temptations. How terrible. The fortress of his heart was taken in four blows. Four blows here in chapter 16. Four mighty temptations, at the same time trials from God. And he was totally blind for God and his world and his own powerlessness. Totally blind for it. And we find him in verse 19. After these four mighty blows. Read it again at home. You will see these four mighty blows in the words of Delilah, right? Four times he tempted her. Four times the Lord tests his servant, Samson. But Samson just heard Delilah's voice and not the voice of the Lord. Which voice do we hear? Young people, when you hear the voices of the world around you, do you also hear the voice of the Lord? Give your heart to me. I will give you strength. I will make you a victor. In all temptations, he is crying out for us and begging that we hand over our life to him. But after four blows, Samson is found on Delilah's knees, sleeping in her lap. He's not found in God's lap, the lap of God's word. He is found in the lap of Delilah, the Philistine world, and he is sleeping there. How terrible this is. He has completely surrendered himself to Delilah, to the Philistines, to the lusts of his heart. He is now at the mercy, not of God, at the mercy of the Philistines, at the mercy of Delilah, at the mercy of the world. He is now at the mercy of God's enemies instead of at the mercy of God. After four blows, his spiritual resistance is broken. There's no more spiritual resistance found in him. There was a wall of resistance built, put up by God's word, by God's spirit. We all remember how Samson was filled with the spirit, how the spirit came upon him and the spirit gave him strength. Where's the spirit now? That wall of resistance built by God's word, God's promises, built by God's spirit, broken down by these four mighty blocks. Sin increased. And now it has taken charge in Samson's life. And wisdom, the wisdom of God and his word, disappeared. Foolishness remains. The great hero, Samson, he fell. Oh, dear young people, parents, whoever you are, this is precisely the tactic of Satan and the world. He is still very much the same. What an example for us. Oh, that we may learn from this example. Well, three times we heard about Samson's heart. But there is something else here in these first verses we have read, we hear three times. Namely, the word departed. What a terrible word. Departed. Let's read it. Verse 17. Samson says there, if I be shaven, then my strength will depart, go from me. Verse 19. Delilah caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and his strength departed, went from him. And then verse 20. And Samson wist not that the Lord departed from him. How terrible this is. The Lord departed. With Samson giving his heart, rendering his heart to Delilah, his strength departed from him. God departed from him. Dear young people, your heart can only be filled with one lover. Only one can have the first priority in life. Oh, I hope you love your father and your mother and your friend girl or your girlfriend or you know, your wife, your husband, whatever. But only one can have the first place and priority and really fill your heart. Is it God or is it, what is it? And it starts by one temptation, right? And you give in. And the Lord departs for a little bit. And then the second temptation, you give in again because that wall of resistance breaks down because you gave in once. You didn't flee to Christ. You didn't build upon the word of God. You didn't listen to the word of God, but you listened to that temptation. This is how it goes. And how people end up in the world and lost. It's what happened with Samson. Terrible. His hair was shaved. And he lost his strength. And he lost the Lord. It is all connected to its other. I tell you how. That long hair was just a sign. It was a sign that he was a Nazarite, a servant, a slave of the Lord. That the Lord has priority in his life. That he did fulfill the will of the Lord and not his own will. It was just a sign. That strength, well, not that much in his hair, it was in the spirit. Because we have read in the previous chapter several times that the Spirit came upon him. And then he became full of strength, powerful. He was even able, you remember that? To carry away the door, the gate of Gaza. Because of the Spirit. His long hair pointed to the reality that he wanted to do, or at least was expected to do the will of the Lord. And when he did the will of the Lord, the Spirit came upon him and gave him strength. And he did with the power of the Lord and the Spirit the impossible. But now his heart was filled with his own will. He gave in to these temptations. His heart was filled with Delilah, with his lust, with the world. And the Lord left without strength. How terrible. The Lord departed from him. What happened? Samson played. His life was just a game, a play. He played with the lusts in his heart. He gave in, he gave in, he gave in. He played with the lust in his heart. He played with Delilah. He played with the Philistines' lords. He played with sin. He forfeited God and his love and his faithfulness. He disobeyed his calling in the word of God. And now what happened in the end? He who played with the world becomes a plaything of the world. He who played with sin ends in the hands of sin. Powerless. Powerless. Captured by sin. What a story is this for us? Especially in our century, in our contemporary age. No man can serve two masters. Matthew 6, verse 24. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, serve God and the world. It's impossible. You cannot share love. Again, that question, where does our love lie? Is it with the Lord and his word? Well, Samson delivered himself into the hands of Delilah. He opened up his heart for her after these four mighty blows. He didn't pass the trials, but he gave in to the temptations. And he sleeps there on the knees of Delilah. And then what do we read about Delilah? She begins to tease him. Her heart is revealed here. Her heart is in the end not with Samson. No. Don't think that the world loves you. The world doesn't love you. Because the world is the tool and the instrument in the hands of Satan. Her heart is revealed here. Listen what she said in Judges 16, verse 6. Listen to her, what she said before. Tell me, Samson, pray, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mayest be bound to afflict thee. All the time, she just wanted to afflict him. That's it. That's it. In the end, she hates him. That's it. How strong passions can blind us, that the world doesn't love us but hates us, that we are the enemy of the world and the world is our enemy. How are we blinded by our passions and lusts? How different is then this heart? I hope and pray this may be your heart. Psalm 17, verse 15. 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thee, thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 17. Well, Samson awakes because Delilah begins to tease him. And she cries out, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he wakes further, and then hear him boasting. Hear Samson. But remember, the Lord had already departed from him. He was without the power and the strength of the Spirit. He's powerless here. And hear him boasting, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. This betrays his heart. He makes his own decisions. He acts in his own strength, in his own wisdom. And his wisdom is foolishness. And his strength is powerless. He needs to find this out. He will find it out in prison. Oh, he finds it out. The Lord is faithful. More in the second thought about it. But he still needs to find it out here. I will shake them off as other times. Why doesn't he say, if it is God's will, I will shake them off? No, no. If God give me the strength, I will. No, I will. And then verse 20b. So hear him boasting. Right? I will go out as other times And it immediately followed by the following words. He wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Can you imagine that the Lord departs from you? It happened here. Why? Because he grieved the Holy Spirit. Not once, but twice and thrice and four times. He grieved the Holy Spirit. And God is so patient, but there is an end at God's patience. And here God's patience is at an end. And God is going to chastise him. He grieved the Spirit. There's only one thing needed here. And what is needed here? Repentance. That's what is needed here. But Samson doesn't know it. He is ignorant. What a mirror he is for us. What a mirror he is for us. And then the consequences. How does it end? It starts in verse 21. Verse 21, let's read that verse. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters, and he did grind in the prison house. 5 times. 5 things you hear about Samson. And 5 times you hear that he was powerless. No strength without the Lord, without his blessing. First time you read, the Philistines took him. What was his calling? To drive out the Philistines. To take them captive. But here is he is taken captive. By the Philistines. We just heard how it all went. How it all ended up here. By giving in to these temptations. Living for the lusts of his heart. Not succeeding in the trials. Not adhering to the word of God. And they took him. He who played with sin is now taken by sin. Oh, and then the second thing. And they put out his eyes. Young people, just tell me, what did Samson do with his eyes? Looking to beautiful women. Stirring up these lusts in his heart. Emotions. That was his life. Looking to beautiful women. And now, his eyes are pulled out of the eye sockets. They are empty. He has no more eyes. He can't see any beautiful women anymore. Over, over. He can't see the world anymore. He cannot give in to his emotions and his lusts anymore. What a warning, right? Let me read his warning, Matthew 5, verse 29. Just as a warning. Especially young people, but also older people. Because, you know, we all experience temptations, right? Matthew 5, verse 29. If your right eye offends you, tempts you, right, your eye, pluck it out. Pluck it out. Hide yourself from that temptation. Flee from that temptation. Don't stick to it. Flee from it. Cast it away from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. The Lord is looking for your life. Oh, that we would pray with Psalm 119. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Well, the third thing we read. And they brought him down to Gaza. How did it all start? Do you remember the first sermon about Samson? Samson descended unto, right? He went down. Do you remember that first chapter, Judges 13? Again and again, he went down, he went down, he went down. He descended to the Philistine territory. And now he ends up there. No return. He ends up there. He will find his death there. Oh, terrible. If you go down to the world again and again, let this be a serious warning. You will end there and find your death there. It's a serious word this morning. It is. It's a warning for each of us. Do you remember, young people, what he did in Gaza? He went into Gaza. What did he do? He took the door, the gate of Gaza, and just carried it away, right? In the strength of the Lord, that's right. But now he ends up in Gaza. A captive, taken captive by Gaza. Let me tell you this. This is the word of God. This is the message. Your desires or our desires determine the end of our lives. This is serious. Our desires determine the end of our life. I hope your desire is, oh Lord, fill me with thy spirit. Lord, I'm hungry and thirsty with thee. Lord, I long to do righteous. Maybe you're wrestling with it. But it's all about your heart, the direction of your heart. That's it. That's so important. Your desires determine the end of your life. And then we read, and they bound him with fetters of brass. Chains of copper, right? The free one ends up as a bound one. What an example is Samson, right? And then the last thing, he did grind in the prison house. That's it. He lived for the lusts of his heart, and now it is, he did grind in the prison house. What an example. Well, before we move on to our second thought, because the Lord is faithful, we will hear in the second thought how Samson comes to repentance because of God's faithfulness and grace. Oh, and this story will end wonderfully. It's a tragic story, but it will show us God's grace, and therefore we sing Psalter 387, and we'll sing five stanzas, Psalter 387, and we will hear this, and we will see this in Samson's life in the second thought. Psalter 387, stanzas 1-5. What will happen with Samson? How will it end? The Lord departed from him. Is then a return possible? Samson grieved the Holy Spirit. Is a return possible? Well, listen to these words, verse 22. How be it, despite all of the blackness of my life, how be it, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. That wonderful word, just this one word, underline it. Began. Dearly beloved, with the Lord there is always a new beginning. Always. There in prison, while grinding them in the mill, Samson's hair begins to grow. The Lord is speaking to him, remembering Samson. Samson, you are a Nazarite. Samson, remember your calling. Samson, with me is grace. Samson, I can do the impossible for you. Samson, you were supposed to deliver the people of Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Samson, it is my work. Samson, I made you blind because of your sin. But Samson, I will make it light in your heart. I will give you eternal light, the light of grace. Samson, you are lost. But for a moment, I left my 99 sheep to look for that one lost sheep here in Providence and for Samson. That's the Lord. He leaves all his sheep just to look out for this lost one. Are you Samson? Lost. And his hair began to grow. Began. It is so clear when you read the next words that they're in prison. It is mostly made clear by his prayer. We'll come back on that. That Samson came to repentance. He came to repentance. The Lord began up new. Do we remember how the Lord began in the life of Samson? It started, of course, already before his birth, right? Because that angel came. But you read that word began or begin also several times earlier in the Samson story. But by example, in the words of the angel, Judges 13, verse 5, he shall begin. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines in the Lord's strength, based on the Lord's calling. And remember, when the Lord calls, that same call is a promise. Just remember that. A calling is also a promise. Be holy is also a promise. Samson, you will begin to deliver. I emphasized in the past that it was just the beginning. But now I emphasize that he needs to begin and the Lord will begin in him to deliver. A calling and a promise. And we just read a couple of verses later in Judges 13, verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. You see, what the Lord begins, he fulfills. And despite the fact that Samson forsook the Lord and didn't succeed in these trials, but gave in to the temptations and grieved the Holy Spirit, despite all of that, the Lord begins again, because the Lord began earlier. We can fall deep, but the Lord will never leave his children alone. He will never forsake the works of his hands. Never.
Never. God's promises are stronger, remember this, than our sins and weaknesses. Isn't that wonderful news? God's promises are stronger than our sins and weaknesses. Whatever your sin or weakness is, build upon God's promise. Flee to the promises. And Christ is the great promise. There is a new beginning. God's grace is always out there. Yeah. You don't read it. But implicit, hidden in the words. You will notify, hidden. Because he's hidden in prison, right? He's in the dark there. He can't see anymore. Hidden. There arises the flame of hope. Hope is kindled in his heart. The hope that God will fulfill his word. That the Lord is still with him despite. Despite. And then we read another story woven in between this story. Verse 23. The princes, the Philistine princes come together. Verse 24. The Philistine people joins them. What are they doing? Samson is there in prison. And the Lord works in his heart. He comes to repentance there. But at the same time, the Philistine people and princes, they are filled with joy. Filled with joy. And what do they do? Verse 23, they offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And you read it again in verse 24, and when the people, the Philistine people, saw Samson, they praised their god. They are full of joy and praises to their idol. Because they think that their idol, the imagination of their mind, the lusts of their heart, is stronger than God and his word. That's what they think. But they are mistaken. They are totally wrong. You know where their joy lies? It's in a way tragic. Where is their joy? Why are they so full of joy? I'll read it for you. You read it actually twice. It's not for nothing if you read it twice. Verse 23 and 24. Our God, that idol, has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Do you hear it? Our enemy Samson. You don't hear them saying, God has delivered our enemy Israel. Where is Israel? Samson is alone. These people, they are still with their hearts with the Philistines. The people of Israel are not a problem for the Philistines. They are not an enemy for the Philistines because Samson depicted the people of Israel. He depicted in his behavior that his heart was filled with the Philistine world, the world around him. It was a picture of the people of Israel. They found their joy with the Philistines and not with their God. So the Philistines didn't have something, an issue with Israel. They had an issue with the deliverer of the God of Israel. They had an issue with Samson. But that's tragic. That's tragic. How tragic it would be if the world around us is silent about Providence Reformed Church and about you personally, or me personally. That the world just doesn't say anything about you or Providence. That's a bad sign. Just consider these words. Pastor, can you prove that? Oh yes, Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 34. Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came to send the sword. It's so clear. It's written in the Bible, literally, right? The world will hate us. So when the world is silent and doesn't hate us, what does it tell about us? Are we still a witness? Where is our heart? Is it maybe, although we are sitting here silently with the world instead of God? Is this the reason why the world is silent about us? And I wonder myself, Lord, open my heart. There's a second thing. So disappointing in the joy of the Philistines. Again, they say, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. They don't speak, not a word, about the God of Samson. Samson acted as deliverer, but it seems like he never spoke about his God. They are full with Samson, and they are silent about his God. That's speaking, isn't it? Their silence about the God of Samson and the God of Israel is speaking. He was not a witness, as the people of Israel were not a witness of their God. They only knew Samson because of his deeds, when he acted as the Savior. But he probably never spoke about God. It's not written there, but implicit, it is there. And then we come to the end of the story. Samson serves as a plaything, an entertainment. He is a toy. He used the Philistines as a toy and the little Delilah as a toy. He played with the lusts of his heart. Now his life ends as a toy in the hands of the world. That's how it ends. A toy, a plaything. Don't make any mistake. The harvest of evil is evil. What you play with will control you. Please remember that. What you play with will control you. Don't make any mistake. And then, verse 26. His hair begins to grow. And inwardly, that we know that for certain because of his prayer, inwardly he begins to change. There is a conversion to God. There is repentance. There's hope. There's hope again. And then we read that powerless as he is, a boy leads him into the temple there. And after he is used at the plaything, he asks the boy, because he can't see anything, right? That strong guy, he's so weak and powerless. Young boy, could you please bring me to the two pillars sustaining this building? These two pillars were so important to hold that building. Probably when you take away, that's clear from the story, when you take away these supporting pillars, the whole building will fall. It will come to a ruin. That happens. And Samson knew it. Probably he had seen that temple before because he was blind. He couldn't see it at that moment. He probably must have seen it before. How terrible that is, by the way. He must have visited that temple. So he's standing there, and he asked the boy, oh, put my hands on the two pillars. So powerless he is, so blind he is. Tragic, tragic, tragic. But now it begins. Oh, what a wonder. He called unto the Lord. Behold, he prays. Behold, that father of that mother. that boy or that girl, he or she prays. There is hope when there is prayer. That prayer is a sign there is a hope. It's a sign and a token there is grace. Oh, and that wonderful prayer we hear Samson using for three times, the name of God. First, he uses the name Lord, Lord, or Adonai. Adonai, verse 28, right? Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord, Adonai, my master, the sovereign one. Lord, master, sovereign one. And then he says, God, Yahweh, I am who I am, my covenant God. Thou who promised to be with me. Your name is I am here. So he calls first of all to the sovereign one, his master. Then he calls to the one who promised him, I will always be there, Samson, that's my name. So we ask him in calling out to that name, oh Lord, please be here with me. It's your name. I am here. And then the third name is God, Elohim, Elohim. In the middle of that temple, next to that idol Dagon, he confesses there is one God. And that God is my God. And that God is my master. He's my Adonai. And that God's name is Jehovah, the I am who I am. It is surely not Dagon. He's just an idol that requires courage, isn't it? To pray this in a heathen temple. In the heart of the world, Lord Adonai, Lord Elohim. And then he cries out, remember me. In other words, remember thy promise to me. Remember thy calling to me. Remember how you began with me. Remember me. What a wonderful prayer it is. The Lord sure will hear your prayer if you pray like this. He will hear your prayer. He heard this prayer. Remember me. I pray thee. I beg thee. And he says, strengthen me. In other words, Lord, fill us with the gift and the grace of thy spirit. Strength is a gift of the Spirit. Fill me with thy Spirit. In other words, Lord, thou departed me because I grieved the Spirit, but come back again in my life. Strengthen me. Thou gave me the token, right? His hair was long again, but now fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Remember me, strengthen me. I pray thee again. Only this once, O God. In other words, I don't deserve it anymore. I don't deserve your mercy, your grace, your indwelling spirit, nothing at all. I don't deserve it. Only this time that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Is this an emotional revenge? Some people read this in these words. Of course not. It is not translated as revenge, but avenge. You probably know you're far better than me than in English. That's something totally different. Revenge or avenge. Avenge, that is when justice is done. Revenge, there is that emotion, revenge. But avenge is, Lord, that justice may be done. Because they took out my eyes. That's also a sin, right? That justice may be done. He doesn't ask, Lord. He doesn't say, I will take avenge. I will do justice. He doesn't say, certainly I will take revenge. But also not, I will do justice. He asks, Lord, use me as a tool because I didn't deserve it, but use me this one time as a tool that justice may be done. End what you began with me. And so it happened. What a wonderful prayer, right? It's no longer I. It is you. You. You, God. He died there. In prison, he died. His old nature. And the powerless one becomes a victor. His face blossoms there. And then he grasped the pillars. Oh, what a wonderful story he is, these young people, right? And he pushes them, and the whole building, it lays down there in ruin. And many people there die. The Lord is doing justice there to these idol worshippers. Let me die with the Philistines. Oh, we always have that question. It's an understandable question. Isn't this suicide? No, of course this isn't suicide. It doesn't have to do anything with it. This is a sacrifice. Samson is here. A picture of Jesus Christ. Samson, no. I forfeited God and his grace and his mercy and my calling. He asked, Lord, use me one time. I will certainly die, but may I die, Lord, as an instrument. That you will use me as an instrument. I deserve to die. Lord, forgive. That's his prayer. I will certainly die because of my sin and my weakness. But Lord, use me in my death as an instrument of fulfilling thy justice. Use me. Make me a deliverer in the moment of my death. There is Jesus Christ. He gave his life. He sacrificed his life. And in his death, he was the complete and full and perfect Savior. In his death, his and our enemies are made powerless, unarmed. There's just one thing to do for us. Take the lesson of Samson serious and flee to Jesus Christ. With him, the impossible is possible. With him, he overcame all and his and our enemies. He's so full of strength. And he died for our sins. It's in the end here. Such a great picture of Jesus Christ. What a wonder it is, right? That Samson, that weak man, is used as an image of Jesus Christ. Are you, or am I, are we an image of Jesus Christ? Are we filled with the Spirit? Lord, remember me. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. It was such a mirror for us. Because we are not so different from Samson. O Lord, forgive our many sins. Lord, make us powerless, unarmed. Thou unarmed Samson, thou made him powerless. And then he became a victor because his hope, his strength was found in thee, O triune God. Lord, in this prayer, we come before thee as sinful and weak men, finding salvation, forgiveness, righteousness, strength, all we need in thee, O triune God, in and through Jesus Christ. O Lord, fill us with thy Spirit. Lord, forgive our sins and the shortcoming in listening and preaching, and bless our word. Be the after preacher. Lord, bring us together tonight that we may hear thy word again when it is about the proclamation, the preaching of thy word. Lord, hear us.
as we praise thy holy name. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 77. Psalter 77. We'll sing all five stanzas. Psalter 77, all five stanzas.
Lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.